So they say there was just a bag of bones, human remains found in a suitcase, part of the human body, and this is a great and horrific desecration. You know, you and I, especially as you're listening and as I get to talk right now, I can't see you, you cannot see me, but we have these arms and legs and the ears to hear and the mouth to speak. Now listen, it's more than just that. It's like the book I read once called The End of Man, and the constitutional lawyer, John Whitehead, said that man is more than just a skeleton with meat thrown on it. Listen, there's a complexity to even our physical body. I mean, the brain, the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, and all the aspects of the human body. I got to take my human body out today and back into the woods again. It was about 3 miles worth. I'm trying to heal up this left foot and ankle and trying to get it to where I can get out there and actually jog again. Something's wrong with that ankle, and it's been a handicap all summer long. You know what? You and I have these physical bodies, and as amazing as they are, we know that there's something going wrong. The older we get, the less we can see, the less we can hear, the less we can, do a lot of things. We sleep a little bit more, and we realize that this aging process is more than just a gracious movement into being seniors. There's something wrong in the physical construct. It has to do with DNA. It has to do with genetics. And that's what we have been talking about all week here. Shatter the Darkness Live. The live broadcast Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This week, the theme, again, off the website, shatterthedarkness.net. Take a look there, and we're glad that thousands and thousands do every single day. We welcome you to the site, but the title for the week is this, So You Want to Be God. Subtitle, Evolution to Deity, Quest of the Ages, Chasing the Elusive Carrot. You ever see the donkey? You know, in the cartoons, they got a stick way out in front of the donkey with the string and the carrot, and the donkey just sees the carrot, and the donkey keeps moving forward trying to get to that elusive carrot. And I don't know about you, but I think in terms of, poor donkey. There he is chasing and chasing and chasing and chasing and chasing the carrot, and he never gets to it, all the while somebody's using him. And let me say this to the New Agers, to the Luciferians, to those that have embraced a spiritual and or physical evolution of humanity that will reach homo lumos, homo deity, the concept that you're chasing and chasing and chasing and chasing, looking into physics, looking into DNA, looking into a spiritual planetary wave that is coming, looking into the Mayan prophecies. Listen, the 2012ers, they're going to buy into it because 2012 prophecies, well, they are an extra laying of the dark, masqueraded cake that's been offered from Hell's Kitchen. Evolution to Deity, Quest of the Ages, Chasing the Elusive Carrot, come on. Something about the DNA, something about, listen, I was reading today again a number of books, and about 5 brand new books on genetics and DNA and all that came in the mail today. Gosh, I'm like a kid in a candy store wanting to get to all of them. A lot of other things going on today, and just reading one of the earlier books that I had, A Geneticist. Oh, again, predicting the future and telling us that there's going to be biological change and evolutionary change, and that humans here in the near future will not be like those of 100 years ago. If they implement gene splicing, if they implement some level of splicing in, animal genes, spiritual charged genes, as the Luciferians speak about, in the back breeding to the Nephilim. Listen, there's so many things we need to talk about. I want to say thank you for coming. Thank you for listening live and thousands of you around the world that download during the week, even tonight. Listen, in Russia, in China, all over the United States and Canada, all around the world, everywhere these are being downloaded. Just want you to know, took time today to pray over you, over your nations, because of God's will, because of the prophetic writings, because of the eternal command of God, and because of the gospel. Now listen, you can find out all about that, Romans chapter 16, verse 25 on down, because of the prophetic historic writings, because of the gospel. There is stated there in Romans 16 that the command of the eternal God is really, God wants to redeem all the nations. He wants to bring redemption in Christ. He wants to bring the miracle. And this miracle, my friends, all the geneticists that might listen, all the physicists that might listen, listen to the soldiers, to the scientists there in the military labs, to those that do the recon, to those who are interested in the subject, it's clear that DNA... Well, it's as if DNA has programming, and some believe that there's that DNA has been programmed with death, that we've been programmed to die, that maybe in the speculation of the philosophers and those who want to save the earth and not see it overpopulated, that the death code in our genes, in our DNA, well, they say it's a good thing. If nobody died, we'd have billions and billions and billions of people. What about 60 billion people? Could the earth handle 60 billion people? Well, no. And so there are those that speculate, even atheists, such as Richard Dawkins and others, that think the death code, the DNA of death, well, that's a good thing, that it's good that we get older and older and older and older and finally die, and that our skin and our body and our organs and everything else rots, and then we go down to the skeleton. And then, of course, we're in that, well, if we've been buried in the casket, the lid shuts, we've been buried 6 feet, there's the body, where's the soul? What's it all about? So as I read the geneticists, I even downloaded 17 hours of Watson and Francis Crick and all that they did originally on DNA. I'm just learning more and more and more and more. It's fascinating because to me, all of what God has created is, can I give you a new word if it is, researchable. And there's amazement, there's wonder, there is awe as I look at the stars, as I look at the, well, I was in the woods today and I seen the beauty of the leaves changing back into the pines and back among all of that created, I had to stop. I had to look and I had to say, this is God, very, very awesome. Thank you for allowing me to be out here. To breathe in and smell the leaves and the trees and back there in the woods. To sense the embrace of God, the complexity of God, the beauty of God, the ability of God. Now that goes all the way down to DNA. It goes all the way down to particles, by the way. It goes all the way down to all of it. Something, though, inside of us, on the one hand says, we don't want to die. We had a murder in Akron here, and a 19-year-old is found, one is found in a car, and another man was killed and found in the woods. Not too long ago, we had a torso murder in the area where part of the body was found in a suitcase off the expressway. Bones can be found a 30-minute drive from here when Jeffrey Dahmer killed his first young man and crushed them all up and buried his bones out in the garden. I remember when the researchers and all the forensics people came and the way they broke down the garden area, digging down for the little pieces of the Hicks boy. It's astounding to me that mankind, well, we die, we rot, we go to the ground. But it's astounding, too, that a man like Jeffrey Dahmer, living not too far from me, I've been by his home, did what he did here and then in Wisconsin. All those people he has, well, killed, cannibalized, eaten. Something's wrong in our physics, in our DNA. Something's wrong in behavior. There's the potential to become a cannibal. There's potential to become a horrific murderer. The potential for a Hitler. The potential for a Charles Manson. Yet we see Christ and we see this incredible life that he lived, that he was free from falling into the power of sin, the power of temptation all around him. But you know what? The only one since the fall of the human race who's never succumbed. Something about the genetics, the DNA of Christ, though tempted, though the possibilities were there, there was the will. What does the will have to do with genetics? I mean, we just programmed, that whatever your DNA, whatever your genes say, that is what you're going to be. Well, I don't believe so. And there are those who are geneticists and others that believe that DNA, genetics can be, in a sense, the behavior can be changed. There's no question that behavior can be changed. There's no question that a lot of things can be done. We're talking about in the series, So You Want to Be God, this elusive, incredible quest for a spiritual evolution to deity. Hundreds of millions of New Agers know all about it worldwide. There are writers and those who have connected with extra-dimensional entities that have promised, as it was Genesis 3, fall of the human race, if we would but seek the knowledge that God won't give us, we can evolve to deity. Now, we talked about the Imago Dei yesterday, Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Tonight, Wednesday, the 29th of September, 2010, we are getting into the title, Embracing the Luciferic Lie. Well, it altered DNA. It altered humanity's genetics. Kind of like a virus, only a billion times worse. In the last 10 or 11 years, I had kind of a really powerful, horrific flu once. And I want you to know that trying, being still strong and running and doing the things and being pretty healthy, it's pretty amazing to me that some kind of germ, a virus, whatever it is, can get in the system and bring you down. Absolutely took me out for 7-8 days. It was pretty incredible because that was when, again, a lot of other injury issues and going down the stairs head first isn't always the good thing. But I was so glad when that flu, whatever it was, one nurse tells me it was a swine flu. I don't have any idea. It was a year ago, literally, that it occurred. It was right in the midst of putting out the book, The Black Awakening, and all kinds of crazy things were breaking loose here in the home concerning it. And yet there was recovery, but wow, such a little thing can bring down effect. I mean, I couldn't eat. It was hard to sleep. There was pain rocked through the entire body. Just sick. Didn't want to talk to anybody. Just sleeping on the downstairs bottom couch, trying to get through it. So my prayers would go out for anybody that has any kind of flu or sickness. And I do believe that God heals. Jesus Christ raises the... You know what? There is a power that is exerted. And again, I call it the physics of God. And I would just simply pray, as we did earlier before this program begins, just that God stretch his hand out. If you don't know Jesus, I pray that you'll come to know him. If you know the Lord, I pray that God, by the Spirit of the Lord, strengthen you and build your faith. And for those with the clamps of the dark side, may the Lord Jesus, and by the power of his name, the blood and the cross, deliver you tonight. And may God stretch out his hand to heal and to bring extraordinary miracle to lives. We've seen it happen in front of us from a distance. It's pretty amazing. So those of you in Russia, in China, those of you in Berlin and Paris and there in Madrid, in London and all around the world, let me tell you this. that God's omniscience and omnipresence is very detailed, personal, and God knows you, and God loves you, and there's nobody that wants you more than God himself. We're digging into this growing, and let me tell you what, this is the foundation. There are two things that we need to really look at: the Luciferian promise and the Luciferian agenda. Both hold the concept of Luciferic doctrine, teachings. Teachings that come from the other side. Now, Alice Bailey and other writers and across the board, there's just simply so many of the writers today. Spiritually guided, but not from the Spirit of God. Spiritually experienced, spiritually encountered, spiritually engaged, but not from the Spirit of God. You will only get the content of God, the heart of God, the attributes of God, the character of God, the agenda of God, when it comes to the Spirit of God revealing, speaking, and guiding. But there's a lot of others around. No question about that. In our subject tonight, in this overall quest, and so I challenge the psychics, the remote viewers, the New Agers, the old Gnostics, the 2012ers and the others that are looking for the replacement, looking for the answer, looking for the question. I mean, they're grabbing this embedded Luciferic promise. It goes way back. It is ancient, but it is also charged, enticing, exhilarating when it comes through a channeler, when it comes from extra-dimensional entity right into a person. When it comes to an astral projector, a remote viewer, and they get the data, they get the revelation from Akashic Records that tells them that there is coming an evolutionary development. Notice all the geneticists keep using the word evolution again and again and again and again. It's not about just change and adaptation, but it's the constant concept of evolution, that there is a never-ending development, evolutionary process, and that would include the spiritual. And so by the millions, and I will say eventually by the billions, this Luciferic, spirit-given promise will be deeply embedded as a counterfeit to the Spirit of God's revelation. Listen now. Of the glorification, which involves indestructible immortality, embracing and seeing God face to face. On the one side of the fence, God reveals, based on what Christ did at the cross. See, all that occurred there was not just an example, not just the heroics of God. This love of God involves function. It involves the physics of God. It involves the fix. Let me tell you right now, all the geneticists that I'm reading, even when you go back to Himmler and the Nazis, and Himmler, of course, was a breeder of chickens, and he was learning about backbreeding and breeding to where you can have just white-feathered chickens. So he understood the concept of breeding. Those who breed horses clearly understand this. And the goal was for Hitler and Himmler and the spiritually charged ideology, science, military vision, there was a spiritual communication about a dream of developing hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of godlike human beings, Aryans. They'd be taller, they'd be stronger, they'd be empowered with spiritual abilities. They would be like the godmen of the past, the Nephilim of the past. They would be humans, but superhumans. And so the issue was, in the science of the day, that they were spiritually guided to seek and to search in a hidden project called Levensborn, the birthing centers. Life source. It involved a spiritual guidance. It involved a literally a sense of ritual. They understood that conception, even coming together, but conception would involve a spiritual presence that would embed, splice in, flex of the Nephilim, blood of the ancients. The backbreeding to the Nephilim has been, is still a goal. I mean, listen, it's not just that the Nazis came up with it. This is spread. The Russians came up with it. Stalin wanted the super soldiers. He wanted hybrid creation of apes and humans. Aleister Crowley believed in the Moonchild, deep, dark rituals, Babylon working. Even rocket scientist Jack Parsons, out in the desert there, you know, calling on the, well, he called the Whore of Babylon, the picture there in the Book of Revelation, summoning the presence to do a ritual to cause, in the sexual act, at the point of conception, some kind of splicing in, some kind of charging. You know, Satanists, in the raising of demons, in the shedding of blood, it's all about charging the blood. It's like the demons grab into the depths of the blood, whether it's the salt crystal, whether it's the whatever substance, it's all about the blood. It's all about the charged blood that they will drink at the end of the ritual. It's all about charged objects. Now listen, whether you or I understand, listen, deep-seated old Luciferians, and let me tell you right now, there is no question that Satan himself, the fallen cherub himself, understands the altering of the structure or the nature of a being. After all, if he does have DNA, if he does have genetics, Ezekiel 28, this anointed cherub that walked among the fiery stones of God, there was a willed transmutation centered in himself until wickedness was found within. Hebrew word means a violent, known, willed, strongly willed choice. His sanctuaries were desecrated. It's as if by what he did, he willed, Isaiah 14, the will, the power of the will of the fallen cherub to become God, to alter his very being. It is without question in biblical revelation that the once awesome, beautiful, anointed cherub that covered has been completely transmuted. Transmuted. The original has been literally mutated completely. Jesus said within him, his structure, his nature, there is no truth. Within him, everything he once was is gone. I mean, his powers, his ability to be this angelic, powerful being is there, but it's all altered. I mean, it's like looking at Charles Manson and seeing the crazed, manipulating murderer that he was, and then looking at someone else that is out there feeding the poor, taking care of people, and it's amazing, isn't it, that one human being could be out there sacrificing their time and their life and their food and their money and helping others, when another human being could be so horrifically evil to manipulate girls and to degrade them. Use them and manipulate and it involved the most. I mean, I don't know if you've ever read the murders. I mean, it was horrific. It was just. I mean, the one was pregnant and they killed her as she was pregnant. So it's amazing to me that the concept of behavior can be radically evil, and the physical body can be radically, well, it's. Something's wrong. As a matter of fact, in all the geneticists and all the things that we're reading, as a matter of fact, the attempts of Crowley, the attempts of Jack Parsons, the goal of the old Nazis, it was all about enhancing humanity. Hundreds of millions worldwide in the New Age movement. Laced on the foundations of Helena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey and Barbara Marx Hubbard and Spengler and Mueller and on and on and on you can go. You have a consistent, spiritually given, spiritually inspired teaching offering to humanity what I believe is a spiritual, elusive carrot. And truly, humanity embraced in the lie is like the donkey, being used while they chase the elusive promise of an evolution to deity, an evolution to immortality. The geneticists are seeking a way that they can go from mortality to immortality. In artificial intelligence, they're seeking a way to go from mortality and dying to resurrection to immortality. They're all recognizing that there's something wrong in the DNA of man, that there's this death thing inside of man. And maybe some of us, I don't. Maybe some of you. Maybe you think that's normal. I mean, everybody dies. Go past a cemetery. Somebody asked me one time. They got me. How many dead people in that cemetery? I said, I have no idea. And the person responded, all of them. They're all dead. They're all under the ground. They're in those caskets. They're in those They're dust in little jars there in the mausoleum. All it is human remains. All it is human remains, but that's not all there is to human remains. Have you ever heard these words? It's in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It talks about how the dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive, harpezo, a Greek word meaning with superior force and quickly, with a overwhelming force, we will be snatched up and away. We'll be snatched away. Once again, looking at the words and then thinking through the genetic side of this. I mean, there is a very big picture of the dead in Christ. This means that Paul and Matthew and Mark and Luke, this means that John Wesley, we're talking 2,000 years, we're talking the history of God's people, those who've embraced God's redemption. Those who are dead in Christ, meaning that the redemption of God at the cross has been literally applied, spiritually experienced, and one day will be a new physical reality. In all that I'm reading, in all that I'm studying, in the area of DNA and genetics, it's as if they're all fighting to improve, to give longer life, to give better sight, to give healthier lives, with the quest of immortality, with the quest of breaking the death code, breaking the death gene, breaking the programming in the DNA that says the physical body must die. You know what it's all about? All of it. All of the geneticists, all of the DNA. Listen, all of the studies here, it's about fixing the problem. I mean, there's even the concept of gene splicing and splicing out. Maybe we can detect in the study of the human genome, maybe we can detect the Charles Mansons. Maybe we can detect some of those. Is there a murderer gene? Is there a killer gene? A rapist gene? No. Can there be a disposition handed down from parents? Can there be a spiritual, familiar spirit that can prompt, influence, and in guide? See, the geneticists are working purely on the physical level. Even the geneticist I'm reading today, again, amazing, but constantly sidestepping the concept of at the moment of creation or of conception is the creation of the human spirit. I mean, he thinks it's pretty crazy that we would believe that at the moment of conception, a human soul is made, and that a little tiny fetus like that in the first month or two, how could that be a human being? How could it not be? If a human being's more than just a skeleton with meat thrown on it. If a human being is more than just the DNA and the genetics, just an eyeball, just an ear, just a hand, or just a mouth. I think we all know something. I think we all know that we're more than just a mouth, an ear, an eye, legs, and arms. I think we know that, you know, I don't know how it is at your house, but on Monday night, the trash has to be all taken out because in the morning the trash truck's coming. So anywhere and everything, all the trash is bagged up, put in the big, great big brown container. It's got wheels. We wheel it out way out there to the corner. The truck comes 4 o'clock in the morning. And all the trash, it's funny how every single week we pack and fill that thing. Bags of trash. Have you wondered why we, when people die, why don't we just bag the bones, put them out in the garbage? We do it to goldfish down the toilet. I mean, if you're really concerned about your child, there might be, you know, a matchbox, put the goldfish in the matchbox, in the box, and take the little goldfish out and bury it. A child saying goodbye to a goldfish. You know, I don't know what it is about flushing goldfish down the toilet, watching a child see their little friend, their little pet, dead, and now going down the toilet. You ever wonder if a kid thinks, is that how it's going to be for me? I wonder, literally, I've done many, many funerals over the years pastoring. Anywhere from an infant of just a couple of days old to someone in their 80s or later. And the amazing thing is that people come and they look at the dead body. And once again, nobody just put the dead body, the bag of bone, you know, in a bag of bones and take it out to the curb and leave it for the trash man. We do not get rid of the physical human life that once lived that way. Now, I know there's wrecks where people burn, there's battlefields where people are lost, there's the sea, there's miners that they've had collapses and they've never come out. But I'm speaking overwhelmingly worldwide. The human body is taken care of, mourned over, fixed up, painted up, clothed. We speak over their lives. We say goodbye. Because life is so incredibly significant. It is absolute. Listen, we all know this. There's a significance to the human life. Though our animals, and they're beautiful, and they are friends, and they're incredible, and there is an amazing array in that world. But the animal kingdom, they don't do what we do. They don't spend thousands and thousands of dollars on caskets and on the end of life. I don't know which costs more, coming into the world now in pregnancy or going out of the world in a casket, in a vault, in the ground, with old stone, with the grain, with the bee and the papers, with the hearse, with the fuel home. Do you understand the cost? And we still, even in a tough and bad economy, unless it's criminal, unless it's something weird and evil, we don't bag a human body and drag back both to the corner, trash man to take away. See, DNA and genetics, it's all kind of interesting. Matter of fact, it's going to be extremely interesting tonight. We're in the 6, 7 o'clock shatter. Winds at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. now the Ragged Show. We invite after this live show into the next hour. And on the website, shatterdarkness.net, you can scroll down and look at this p.m. And then the 7 p.m. on Wednesday night, tonight. Tonight, author of Forbidden Gates, numerous other number of books, Raiders News Network. Net. Listen, Tom Horn is going to join us. He's going to be here in Canton, Ohio in 2 days. We're going to be speaking together at a conference called Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference. And subject got the himself and Derek Shilper out. Going to be with Dixie and all the rest of the ultra genius and gold man war. Is a spiritual quest. Is there something about that siding them on Hunter? Shinai Elohim of Genesis 6 came down, took a dog, Adam, mind, and the and dude brought an altar, and they're called Hughes. Americans, men, the Knicks, every day, this are all not, and he's human. Not one, all of them on the Knicks, so are going to the throwing Christ provided to the so are throwing life to the curb. Those who are throwing to the curb, being born of the Spirit of God, and literally having their DNA affected. To the curb. Those that throw glorification to the curb. I think a lot of times that many folks do that because on the one hand, Satan seeks to blind people and not let them know about all of this. On the other hand, there is that spiritual quest to say, you know what, throw God to the curb, throw his word to the curb, throw his revelation to the curb, throw his miracle to the curb, and the offer of a alternative is presented, deeply bedded in books and materials coming from supernatural communication engagement. It's the same promise that was once given in the garden. There are those that believe that a supernatural global spiritual wave is coming that will activate dead or dormant DNA in humanity. Thus, there will be a burst of the evolutionary spiritual process, and we will become homo deity, homo lumos. We'll become altered. And I'm not sure the implications for that teaching has been thought through. I'm not sure. Where does the spiritual wave come from? What's the source of the spiritual wave? In the garden, there was a promise of a spiritual evolution to godhood through secret knowledge. And again, this fallen cherub was saying, hey, God's ripping you off. God's not letting you have the knowledge. And if you just simply throw God to the curb, throw his word to the curb, you can grab the alternative. You can become like gods. And the moment humanity did it instantaneously, in the twinkling of an eye, there was an altering, not a evolutionary developments, nothing to expand humanity. It was a devolution. It was an instantaneously act. The Spirit of God left. And some nature came into humanity. It involved a nature that it's opposed to God, that keeps the structure and the construct of the inside of the human blinded to God. The sarks. Again, study it out, Romans chapter 8, you're going to see that the sarks is an operating living presence. It is a code. That is it literally acts like a program. It's as if this has infected our DNA, infected the genetics, infected the moral behavior, infected our ability to think, perceive, discern. It's as if the capacity that God created that we could see and know and engage him was all taken away, and darkness and a power that involved the rights of access. If you're lost, I'm just telling you biblically, Ephesians chapter 2, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in those, well, who are still lost. Your DNA is dead to God. Your genetics are dead to God. Your spirit is dead to God. Your cardia, the heart, the center of your being, mind, will, emotions, everything about you, dead to God. God's not on the inside if you're lost. God is on the outside, knocking, wanting to get in. Christ at the cross. Think about the genetics of God in human flesh. Think about the genetics of the sinless. Well, he's called the last Adam. Do you understand that he's there to represent the totality of humanity? And he made it sinless, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You can't splice sin out. You can't splice in a gene of moral perfection. Where are you going to get it? From what human are you going to get a gene of moral perfection? I can tell you in the theological sense that when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, something happens. Your human spirit is made alive to God and everything about you. And I believe DNA, I believe your genetics, I believe your physical body, your soulical eye is all lit up by God's indwelling presence. And for that I say hallelujah. And for that I say to anyone listening that does not know God, Jesus Christ, at the cross, death, resurrection, shedding of sinless blood. Oh, the genetics of Christ, the DNA of God in Christ. We're talking about the entire work, though. What geneticists, what hunters of perfect DNA are searching for has already been provided in Christ by God, available now, and I can tell you that I have it in me. Omnion Zoe. You ever read about it in 1 John chapter 5? God says, I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. You have it. You read Romans 8 again, and you're going to find on the one side there is the law of sin and death, operative in your DNA, operative in your genetics, operative in your cardia, your heart, your mind, your will, your emotions, everything about you. And it goes beyond that because the scriptures teach that as a lost man or woman, Satan has legal rights to you. How are you going to change that? Artificial intelligence? No. Gene splicing? No. Satan's lie of a spiritual evolution to deity, the elusive spiritual evolutionary carrot. Do you know one person that has reached that? In the thousands of years that has been offered in different disciplines, serpent worship of the past, Gnostics of the past, around, listen, it is the spiritual promise that is embedded, bled into the development of globalism, the spiritual force of globalism has a promise. Throw God to the curb, throw Christ to the curb, throw all the stuff to the curb, and embrace. And oh, there's real spiritual counterfeit, though, signs, wonders. Oh, there's miracle. There's spiritual stuff to cause individuals to think, oh, this must be true. I feel the dazzling of it. I feel the brilliance of it. I feel the shimmering, shining, spiritual voice guiding me. Have you reached deity? Listen, I'm asking the Satanists, I'm asking the real Luciferians, those deeply embedded in Europe, those embedded deep into the Vatican, those bled through the nations around the world. You know who you are. You know what you believe. Has even the one you serve, a fallen cherub, a shining serpent, in all the thousands of years and all that he's had time to do, in the power of that super being, has he been able to go from finite to infinite? Has he been able to, on his own, change his own DNA, his own genetics? The lust he has to become God is at your expense. Satan asks the Satanist, the Luciferian, spill blood for me, and I promise you. Well, I'm telling you that it's the lie. It's the chasing of the elusive spiritual carrot. You never get to it, and Satan sees you, and the demonic realm sees you as the stupid donkey carrying their agenda into the future. All the while, the finite cannot, with all the dazzling array of engagement, encounters, teaching, ancient stuff, old prophecy, all kinds of things. Even the new super science, none of it has enabled one fallen angel to become God, not even the fallen cherub himself. Jack Parsons in the desert couldn't do it. Crowley couldn't do it. Nietzsche couldn't will to power. Himmler and Hitler in their quest for the God-men. And the quest now of the chosen ones, the quest now of supra-science or supra-naturally engaged, empowered, energized science. Whenever you see science seeking for what it is that Satan promised, you realize then that Satan's doctrine has entered their heads, entered their hearts, and guided the science no differently than Mengele himself. What are you going to do with your life? I don't know if you've ever read. Let me give you three things quickly right now. One, 1 Thessalonians 4. You read about the descent of Christ, the announcement of the trumpet call of God, and the descent of the once dead, once resurrected, once ascended, forever glorified, who promised, the promises of his second coming go back into the Old Testament. It's a part of the overall picture of the New Testament. It is what the book of Revelation, Apocalypse Jesu Christu, is all about. It's all about Revelation 19. But in 1 Thessalonians 4, we're reading about this instantaneous act. Is there physics behind it? Of course. Think about the dead in Christ. My grandmother's been dead a long time. I think about 20 years. Obviously, the physical body that I once grabbed a hold of and loved, and my grandmother loved, my grandmother was just packed. I love my grandmother. And by God's grace, I led my grandmother to Christ. She received Jesus into her life. She wanted him. And she knew before she died she was going to heaven. She had the internal witness of the Spirit of God and the external truth of the Word of God. She knew that she knew that she knew. And I was there the day she died. When she raised up her hand, patted me on the face, told me to keep warm, that she has to go now. And she did, 20 years ago. Did I do the funeral? Yes. Did I speak about my grandmother? Yes. Was it an emotional time? Absolutely. But there was an overarching joy absent from the body. Have you read this? Have you ever heard it? See, no geneticist, not a secular, cold, humanist, atheist, agnostic geneticist can speak these words. But God can. God can say, absent from the body, present with the Lord. See, there is a singularity, but it's not the satanic lie. It's not the satanic agenda. It's not the satanic promise. It's not the ultimate what is being bled into everything that is moving towards the chaos and the destruction. It comes from the infinite God and the singularity, the point of all of the prophets, of all the apostles, and all of the scriptures, of the Spirit of God, of the angels of God. It all centers on Christ, God in human flesh, the sinless life, the life he lived, the love that was there, the cross, the death, the resurrection, and the coming again, and the promise. The promise of the dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive that have the Spirit of God, the new nature, we who have the gift of eternal life dwelling within us, harpezo, you've heard it as the term rapture, instantaneous snatching away, and in that in that process is the revelation of 1 Corinthians 15. In the twinkling of an eye, flash, the Greek word, atomos. That's the idea of an unsplittable moment. In other words, on an atomic or beyond an atomic level, a flash. Can I tell you what this is? The splicing in of God's ultimate work in salvation. See, in salvation, Christ comes in. There is really, literally, the splicing in, the idea of the indwelling of the living Christ, the indwelling of the Spirit of God, the indwelling of a new life. I have it now, but it culminates when there's justification as if I've never sinned. That's happened already. 35 years ago, when did it happen for you? When did you come to Christ? And see, in the middle between justification, as if you've never sinned in your life, what God does in Christ for you, and glorification, which will also happen in an instant, the twinkling of an eye, in the middle is the power, the beauty of dynamic sanctification, growing, going deeper in God, talking with God, walking with God, listening to God, learning His voice, doing His mission, developing, out with the old, in with all the new. You want to talk about something that is awesome? You want to talk about something that is spiritually incredible? It is what God does. And so when you talk about glorification in 1 Corinthians 15, when in an unsplittable moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye, there's a flash, and mortality, mortal will put on immortality quicker than a second by the exertion of the power of God. There's physics behind this. There's how it occurs. God knows. We have glimpses of it. Let me give you one more. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Go on down there around verse 25. You know what you're going to get to read? You're going to get to read the fact that when Jesus returns, there is a, it's a different word than metamorphosis. It's metaskedmazo. It's the idea that there will be an absolute change, that will occur. But it explains it in the verse. Again, take a look, Philippians 3. Incredible, but it's not until Jesus comes. It's not that those in artificial intelligence, those geneticists and those in the New Age movement or Luciferians in the underground or Aleister Crowley or Jack Parsons or ancient Hitler and Himmler, and it's not going to be through some kind of human-based, demonic-based gene splicing, counterfeit resurrection. It's going to be the presence and the power of God operative. Astounding. And all I can tell you is that anyone and everyone is God's target. God's not willing that any of us perish. God loves you. God wants you. God's seeking you. And if you're listening now or to the archives later, if you're lost, right now, the living Christ, right now, he can come into your life. Turn to the living Christ. Write to me. Go to shatterthedarkness.net. Scroll down on the right-hand side a little bit. You're going to see where it talks about contact. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. Write to me. Let me know about it. Let me know about what you've done. It is the most powerful thing that involves everything that so many are seeking for, to this date have never found, and will never find on their own. It's got to come from God, Maker. Hey, we're at the end of the hour. I hear the music. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Remember us in your prayers, and please, my friends, remember us in support. God bless you and good night.